And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas room tonight already. And tonight we're doing a special report for you. And this is all about now the CIA invasion of the UFO file, which I think is very crucial. And it's something that we're going to be discussing tonight. And we're not going to be taking questions because we are... We don't have Miss Olivia tonight, and but we will be coming back in a couple of weeks with a big QA. So hold those questions, and we are going to be taking them. But we have Groovy Bean out there in the ideas room running the show with Kat Goida, and it's great to see all of them out there. And really terrific because, you know, this is so important with what's happening as we see the world going into this big meltdown over our friends in the UK. Ukraine and the things that are happening there. Of course, the nature of the situation is they're sort of hitting us with one thing after the other. So we had the COVID op, we had a standby and watch all that go down, and all the battles over constitutional rights, not just here in America, but it's, you know, Canada, of course, the big trucker convoy face off, and as well in Australia, our friends in Australia going through incredible, incredible hardships. And then out of the blue, what happens? Well, the op decides it needs to switch, and it pushes back dramatically on itself. And they decide to go for a totally different approach, which is, isn't that interesting? So we've been hanging in there with all that. And for me, when I look at this, I think to myself, you know, that entire establishment is really getting desperate. And that's the thing that I think we need to keep in mind the most. And in terms of what they're doing in the Ukraine and the things that we're seeing there, I want to make special note that they really are getting into this idea of exchanging nuclear weapons and how that wouldn't be such a bad thing and all the rest of it. And that is beyond absurd, of course, and they've blundered into this situation by putting NATO on Russia's doorstep and really giving them an excuse to do all of this because they wanted them to overreact so they could overreact in response. And we're in the middle of this big global tug of war. And here are we in the center of it all. And we ask, where is it going to go next? And that's what we're going to try to take a look at tonight with everyone here. And I think the UFO file is a big key missing ingredient in all of it. So I'm very happy to be going over this tonight because as we've been doing these other shows, you know, we just did this fourth anniversary show where we went into Elon Musk and the influence of the satellite technology over there in the Ukraine. And how Musk was offering himself up as this kind of hero saying, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to cover, you know, we're going to offer all of the satellite service to Ukraine, and that getting mixed up in the middle of that military operation, in fact, made Musk and you know, SpaceX a kind of a huge player with Starlink in that whole battle. And that's exactly what we don't want. Are crazy corporate people who have no accountability going off on their own and getting us into wars. And that goes for Bezos and all the rest as well. So we're going to be getting into that tonight. But what's been crucial on our side, I think, as we look around, is that the UFO file piece, which is so important, I think, is not well understood and is being pushed in the mainstream media as a kind of, oh, hey, look, you know, look at this fun thing. The government's going to give you UFO disclosure. And that's just not what I'm seeing at all. And behind that, we have this whole CIA push to get this op happening. So as far as I'm concerned, these are very crucial pieces, and we need to dissemble the op and smash the op ultimately, which has been going on really since 1947. But the most recent incarnation since 2017. And that op is the one I'm going to go after tonight. And that includes the TTSA and Lou Elizondo and that whole crew of creepy CIA on the fringe there with Jim Semivan, John Ramirez, and the rest of it. Every day we turn around for new stories in the UFO file, and what are we seeing? We're actually seeing a bunch of CIA agents. That does not bode well for the topic, that's for sure. So that's something that we need to keep in mind. But what I think is as important is all the people in the ideas room and just this kind of conversation that we're having about this. can indeed lift the conversation and change the awareness around it, which is so crucial because ultimately it's going to be an information gathering and intuitive exercise for us to get to the bottom of these things. And we can't do that in a situation where we're just constantly in a state of when's the next shoe going to drop on this and the next bomb going to go off in some part of the world. That's the kind of excited, irrational state that they want to get everyone into in order to have an easier time of just pushing in and saying, well, we're taking away this constitutional right. And, you know, we're calling emergency powers as they did in Canada recently, as they've done here in America before, for example, during September 11th. So it's through those emergency power exercises that they get all kinds of authority that they don't actually get through elections. And this is a very crucial aspect for us to get our heads wrapped around. And the UFO file and the threat operation that the CIA is running in relation to it are exactly that crucial piece. So that's something we're taking a very deep look at tonight. It's great to have so many of you here. I see a lot of familiar faces. I want to mention before we really get started in earnest that, you know, with all the massive censorship that we're seeing, and it's really been overblown and over the top. I mean, you get caught picking up sticks on Saturday and you're out. You use the wrong pronoun and the thought police are down on you. So what we're seeing actually in relation to this is, you know, the best way for us to keep in touch is for you to be on that newsletter. And the newsletter is something you can pick up by going to darkjournalist.com. And, you know, it's right there. It's free and it's the best way for us to keep in touch. And as far as I'm concerned, that's something that's very important where they're just yanking our access. So one day we wake up and there's no social media. Hey, we still have that direct pipeline, I think, which is so crucial. And that's a free newsletter, and make sure that you're on that list because we definitely want you there. Okay. So one of the stars of tonight's program is Luis Elizondo, Lou, L-U-E, as he's been come to be known. And it's very interesting because, you know, I've been really sounding off the red flags on this case since it came up initially. And we really have to take a look at what they've been able to do in relation to Elizondo and the media, is they've created a whole fake narrative about this guy as a whistleblower coming out of ATIP. And they've been able to do it with the help of the New York Times. And I want to point out that the New York Times did this with a phony confirmation triangle. And that confirmation triangle went over to Brian Bender at Politico, who got something from a disgraced official at the Pentagon. And that's how the whole story got confirmed, as they say, although I don't believe any of it's confirmed. In fact, the videos that Lou let out supposedly go back a long time. They actually were released on YouTube in 2007. So much for being highly classified. And these are just the facts of the case. And we have to get our heads wrapped around that. But it was interesting when all this was happening, the way that they did it, because they needed that sort of authenticity stamp of the New York Times across it. And they got it. So this is Glowing Ores, Black Money, the Pentagon's Mysterious UFO Program. This came out in the New York Times, in fact, and that was December 16th, 2017. So, you know, we're really looking about 4 years ago, incredibly enough. And in that article, they mentioned, you know, Elizondo for the first time, and he'd already been on stage with To the Stars Academy, which was the Tom DeLonge UFO exercise that they had really put all this money into. And so we were looking at a very strange situation right off the bat. And for me, when I was observing all the things that were going on with this, I was instantly seeing the op in formation. And then the whistleblower is always crucial. And they had Lou there. You know, they had this professional photographer take these disgruntled pictures of, oh, Lou, he's so distraught. UFOs aren't getting their due and this kind of thing. So so I instantly knew something was up with this. But DeLonge I'd had my eye on for a while. And one of the, I think, most important things that we saw with DeLonge is that when the WikiLeaks papers came out in relation to all that, and all those emails tumbled out. We saw his number one liaison in all this was John Podesta. And Podesta had been running this campaign. Of course, Podesta had been the chief of staff for Obama. He'd been huge in the Clinton, first Clinton administration. And he always had this reputation around him for being into, you know, Crowley-ish stuff, occult stuff, and UFO stuff. And he was big on, we need to get to the bottom of UFOs. But when he was communicating with DeLong, they were setting up this whole idea that what was going to happen was that Hillary was going to be on board with this whole thing as president, and they were going to be able to do this UAP thing. And they talk about these sessions where they teach her over and over again to say UAP. And in fact, she gets mad when no one brings it up because she's like, I've trained myself to say UAP like it's so hard. But that is a crucial background on this, because without that piece, we don't really understand why we are where we are with the media and the CIA in relation to all this. So let's keep that in mind. And of course, we're going to be looking at maybe the kingpin behind the entire operation, who is CIA boss John Brennan, who suddenly really wants to know all about the UFO file, even though, of course, CIA for how many years? He knows everything about UFOs, of course. So this is very interesting because he was known as the Drone King when he was in the Obama administration because of his penchant for bombing the heck out of these suspected terrorists. And so he would bomb a wedding party of 50 people to try to get one terrorist, and maybe sometimes he would. And when they talked about all the people who had died in relation to him dropping these bombs, he'd say, well, it's the cost of doing business, you know, we've got to get those terrorists. So, this is the kind of mentality. So not exactly a warm and fuzzy new age personality who's going to give you UFO disclosure. This is a very different kind of person. And we need to get our heads wrapped around that. This whole gang is coming from a very dark place. And that's one of the first things we need to get our heads wrapped around. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. We're doing about a 90-minute special report on this tonight. We're not doing our regular X series episode and doing questions with Miss Olivia. I'm just doing it from home here. And I wanted to make sure we got all these things on the record, because I think in relation to the UFO op and the threat op that the CIA has been running, this week was a big week, and I'm going to tell you why. And we're not going to take your questions tonight, but when we come back with the X series soon, we'll be taking those. And I have some very, very exciting interviews coming up for you as well. So I wanted to make sure that you guys really lock in with that newsletter, because I have some very exciting announcements that we're going to be laying out here over the next couple of weeks. All right. I see Groovy and Kat out there. It's great to see you guys running the ideas room. And, you know, when we did the 4-year anniversary double hitter on last Friday and Saturday, you guys asked great questions. And I went through both of those chats. It took me a couple of days, but they were power-packed. And so thank you very much. Really appreciate all of that. Okay. So I want to go back to something that happened here, which has to do with Elizondo. First of all, Elizondo, you know, we could take him from the very beginning in 2017 and move up on our way, or we could take him from now and move our way back. And I think that's how we're going to do this. But always swirling around Elizondo was that he was always saying one thing and then saying another. And he would say, well, the UFO work I did was classified, unclassified, or this was a program where I worked very closely with CIA, but not with Intel, you know, like weird things that didn't make any sense. And if you see him, like he did a couple of interviews this week, and unfortunately people in the UFO field are giving him airtime, but he'll just sit there and he'll make conversation out of nothing. I mean, this is guy who's really talking and he's saying, you know, I have to say, you know, describing this to you is very much describing like, you know, how a dog goes after a cat and then a cat goes after a mouse. Well, there's a dynamic there between the cat and the mouse. You know, I mean, it's just, it's nonsense. It's a way to spend 2 hours without actually saying anything. I couldn't even imagine going up on a major show and just blathering on the way that Lou does. But he gets away with it because he he rolls in and the narrative around him is, oh, hey, he ran a secret UFO program. Well, not so much, as it turns out. But more importantly, than the debates that they kind of keep around us, oh, did he run it? Did he not run it? And there's no real proof that he ran it. What's more important is, who is he running it for? So if we had the CIA as his boss on it, and he's been a CIA agent now over 2 decades, then it makes more sense to say, oh, you know, none of that, the background part doesn't matter. It's, who is he doing it for? That's the crucial end. So one of the things that happened recently is HBO decided, you know, what we really need to do is make a documentary, a bio about Lou. And we're going to have Leslie Kane do the screenwriting for it. I thought this was hilarious because Leslie Kane is the writer of the New York Times article. So she's the one who launches Lou up to this point. But Kane misses a lot of the very important attention and scrutiny that we should give all of these people, not as a, you know, not in a way that is intentionally personal, not at all. But in investigative journalism, I want to start with this for everyone who's working around these topics, that when you get called out by somebody, you know, like Lou, who says, oh, you know, I'm being, you know, harassed and all this kind of stuff. You ask me a tough question. How dare you? I'm risking my life. You know, I mean, this guy doesn't even claim to have violated his NDA with the government. How can you be risking your life over what? Because you didn't violate your NDA? I mean, what is he afraid of? They're going to take his parking space away at Langley? I mean, let's get real about some of this stuff. So investigative journalism is adversarial journalism by its very nature. For example, if you catch a corporation dumping chemicals in the river, your investigation is not going to be a friendly high-fiving experience. You're going to go in there professionally and get to the truth, and they might have to answer some tough questions. And when you say, I ran a program for the government about extraterrestrial UFOs and all that, you're going to get a lot of tough questions, especially when you lie a lot in public. So let's get off the victim, the V word, with good old Lou. Sometimes it sounds like Me Too Lou, you know, he thinks the Pentagon people are after him. And so the other piece, what happened is that he started to get all these strange accolades out of the blue, like GQ Hero of the Year and People Magazine. And this is a pure rubber stamp of the Central Intelligence Agency's control over that kind of propaganda wing in the media. So one of the things we saw was former Pentagon UFO official Elizondo to reveal shocking detail in a new book, and he gets a big book deal on top of it. So, you know, really, in real time, running the op the way that he's running it is real profitable. In fact, as it turns out, even with all the contradictions. So let's go over it. Biographical movies, your own TV series on the History Channel for 2 years. It had terrible ratings, but you still got it, right? A big book deal and all the rest. That's not how whistleblowers are treated. You know, they usually have a very hard time. Just ask Phil Schneider, for example. So all of these accolades and the things that he's been getting are problematic on a number of different levels. Looking at it is just a very straight ahead kind of a situation. So next up, he goes in, and I'm sure that they say to him, look, before we put this book out, you need to wrap up the UFO field because there's so many voices there who kind of busted through your story. And you need, so he starts showing up these really small podcasts to get just the accolades, like, Lou, you're great. Thank you for saving the world. Or, you know, occasionally he'll get like a George Knapp interview where George Knapp will say, well, how does it feel to be a hero and great? You know, is it, you feel more like a hero or more great? And tough questions like that. So there's no investigative journalism going on there. I had hoped anytime he'd go on one of these shows, I was like, some person, you know, like Dolan or somebody's going to ask a tough question. No, Dolan was all in on it too. So Knapp, Dolan, all those guys collapsed and they wanted in on the CIA promo because TTSA was promising documentaries and entertainment shows and all these guys wanted on board. And, you know, I really don't even like talking about other people's research very often, other researchers, because they have their own thing that they need to do. But what I do want to point out is that entire field, with the exception of a few voices, collapsed under the weight of this potential promo of the TTSA. Now they're running for the hills on the TTSA because they're trying to say, oh, you know, the TTSA, well, that's yesterday and we're moving on and all that. No, you signed on to a big CIA 3-year operation. Those guys ripped through the UFO field and they spent $50 million in debt. And, so we need to say, what was going on there and why didn't you guys call it out? And you have a chance to call it out now because the spinoffs are Elizondo and Chris Mellon. They're wide open and they're just hanging out there waiting for us to do some scrutiny. So the field as a whole collapsed dramatically in investigating this. But even with all of those advantages, this op has had a tremendous time. The CIA UFO threat op has had a tremendously hard time getting off the ground. And I think a lot of that goes to who we're talking about running it. Because these people have kind of wallowed in a type of arrogance that is just hard for us to imagine on our side. And I think that certain people took a nosedive like DeLong, like when DeLong spoke to Joe Rogan and stuff. When he got under scrutiny, it didn't work so well. So what they figured out with Lou is that they wouldn't put him in any tough situations. Of course, I had invited him for a gentleman's debate on this program, DeLong too. DeLong before they even had TTSA, because they set up a debate, Vice set up a debate between DeLong and myself a long time ago when his first books came out. And he decided, no, I'm not going to do it, but I'll take your interview. And so he took the interview with Vice and I did one for Vice. So this has been going around for a long time, the avoiding scrutiny, going around people like dark journalists. So what was interesting for me was the other day, through some strange accident, which occasionally happens, even when you're doing the perfect CIA op, Lou went on a small channel and fell on his face when he got, for 20 to 30 seconds, the universal window opened up and somebody asked him a couple of tough questions. The guy's name was Rather Be Squidding. This is his online name in the show, something about UFO celebrities. But so Stephen Greenstreet from over at the New York Post reported on it. And what happened, I'll recap and then show you some things to back it up. But basically, he went on this show and the guy had the guts, Rather Be, had the guts to say, you know, it's kind of well known that you create sock puppet accounts to go after your enemies. That doesn't seem to me like trying to bring the field together. Can you explain that? And Lou said, I'm an intel guy. I do that, you know, because I like to collect information. And then he would say, you know, he would sort of dance around it. But basically, what he had said was that I'm making fake accounts to go fight with my critics. And it was such a moment that Lou realized he started to get red at this point. And he realized that he had screwed up. Maybe he screwed up his entire op, in fact. And so he turns to the guy and he said, what if I called your mother a prostitute? I kid you not. This official who claims to be bringing UFO disclosure and, you know, all this government people behind him and the CIA pushing him and, you know, GQ Hero of the Year. He asked this guy, what if I called your mother a hooker? That's the level, that's the real person peeking out behind the scenes. So let's go through some of this two-clip thread. Stephen Greenstreet, not mine. This is Stephen Greenstreet. Two-clip thread. First clip, Be Squidding asks Lou Elizondo, has it ever used anonymous sock puppet accounts? Lou's response, collecting intel is what I do. I'm an intel guy. Now think about this. First of all, you're supposed to be a former intel guy, right? I thought you weren't with the CIA anymore. Or were you just with the CIA and this has been an op all along and you never got off the train? So, you know, these things start to really add up. Then his response, if I called your mother a prostitute. I kid you not. Lou Elizondo, there he is. GQ Lou. He let it all rip out and it was Be Squidding, at Be Squidding on Twitter. Rather Be Squidding is the guy's name. And it's hilarious because, you know, sometimes this happens when, you know, it's almost like somebody's in the ring and they're just in there with somebody that they're supposed to be sparring with and the sparring partner knocks them out. This is a TKO. And it's remarkable because in 4 years of Elizondo going out and getting softball questions from Knapp and Dolan and all these other people, it took this guy to bring it right to the fore, which is, why are you making Twitter sock puppet accounts to go after your critics? You know, like, that doesn't seem to me like the actions of somebody who's trying to bring disclosure. And no, it's the action of a petty CIA person who's been, you know, wants to make sure that they can control the narrative. And, you know, we have all kinds of experience in this stuff with cult leaders and all the rest. Just think of what we did with Corey Good. He was making new sock puppet accounts by the day. He had legions of them, and I'm sure Lou does too. But this is very important because we're getting this story now through the mainstream media that Lou is the man behind disclosure, and he's going to give you UFO disclosure and forget about his CIA past and forget about the fact that he's making sock puppet accounts. So the second clip, again, it's Stephen Greenstreet, and you can get this on Greenstreet's Twitter account. He's the New York Post guy, and he just tripped into UFOs. Second clip is from today. B. Squidding shares his thoughts on Elizondo's response. Quote, this is the guy who tripped him up. It's clear to me now that Lou Elizondo is deceiving and manipulating the community 100%. Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. Our hero of the week, rather B. Squidding. This guy nailed it. And somehow that's the way it works. Not the big shots, not George Knapp, not Dolan. Nobody laid a glove on Elizondo and the CIA op. This guy, from his little podcast, asking tough questions, and only for a short time, like 30 seconds, nailed it. And he showed the inner CIA creep hanging out there in Elizondo. But this is very extreme language, too. And I've seen him use it before. You know, one guy had done a documentary on him, and Lou had threatened him that if he saw him, you know, there would be something physical that would happen. You know, this kind of thing, which is completely unprofessional, and also shows maybe a sort of desperation on his side. And so what he's been doing lately to get around the fact that he's dropped the ball is he says, well, when these people go after my family, what can I do? I need to go after them. Well, in the case of Rather Be Squidding, he was just asking, why are you making up false Twitter accounts? This is very important because it goes to somebody's character and it goes to their ethical values. And the kind of character and ethical values that we're seeing on behalf of Elizondo is more like a Corey Good cult leader type thing rather than this exalted person who's going to bring disclosure. And this is the type of stuff that we've been saying from the beginning with this guy, which is, you know, it's important for us to remember that the Central Intelligence Agency uses marginal figures. This is what they're actually good at. And they know how to select them, and they look for a particular type. And so with somebody with that kind of counterintelligence background, and counterintelligence, you know, really means they choose them because of their ability to lie. So we have to keep that in mind when we get in the middle of all this, because lying becomes so crucial, and the ability to lie. And I'm sure in that capacity, this guy is really good. But we don't need that in the UFO side for UFO disclosure. We don't need somebody who's really good at lying, nor do we need the entire ranks around that to be CIA people who are good at lying and creating a narrative, because look at the kind of ops that they've been running on us from the Ukraine to COVID and so on. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. Whew, this is the special report on the invasion of the UFO file. It's the CIA invasion of the UFO file. And it's great to have so many of you here with us. We have Cat and Groovy out there running the ideas room. It's great to see so many people, familiar faces. We're not taking questions today because it's a 90-minute report. I'm going to try to get everything in. And then when we come back with the X series, of course, and some other exciting shows for you, we're going to be taking your questions. And again, thank you for all the fantastic questions in the previous 4 years of the X series celebration we did last Friday and Saturday. Really exceptional. And, you know, I want to say in terms of the kind of work that we do here, at the Dark Journalist X series, we really couldn't do it without you, because your support is crucial, but also the incredible kind of boost that you give us in the work by so many stimulating ideas and links and all the things and stories that you send us. So we really appreciate that very much. I want to go into this whole thing about, you know, the Tic Tac and all that just briefly, because I think it's important, because all of this emphasis around Elizondo and DeLong and all that really relies on the fact that the Tic Tac is supposed to be this incredible thing. And that was as if we'd never seen a UFO video before. And that one's not even particularly good because it's radar footage and it's easily manipulated. As a matter of fact, when I asked experts and people like Russell Targ, who've worked around programs, physics programs before, they didn't buy it. They weren't buying it. They thought it was manipulated. I'm going to show you a case that took place in New Zealand in 1978. We're talking 24 years ago. This is what showed up on national television. And what was happening there, it was very interesting. There was an airliner which was being chased in real time by this thing. And they had a TV camera crew aboard who took pictures of it. There were some other close-ups and all the rest. And it was really remarkable, let's face it. This case called the Kikora Lights was in the New Zealand media. It was a series of UFO sightings. This happened in December 1978 over the skies of the Kikora mountain ranges northeast of New Zealand's South Island. The first sightings were made December 21st. This thing was around for like 8 days. And but because it was shot by a TV crew, in fact, the footage is 10 times better than the Tic Tac video. So we've had, you know, video that shows the action of a UFO. I mean, it's been on the record. So this idea that we just invented the UFO file in 2017 and Lou Elizondo brought it out and the CIA loves you is crazy. I mean, we've had the UFO file problem actively since 1947. There are cases that go back even further than that. 41 is Cape Girardeau. There's weird cases in the early 30s and late 20s as well. So even this idea that the UFO wave started in 47 is on shaky ground. Certainly there were more reports, but even that, I mean, you know, there have always been activity around this, even of course in ancient times, as we know. So, but one of the things that they were trying to do is reinvent the field. And the way you do that is give it a new origin story. Say, well, here's the story of UFOs. You know, in the beginning, God created the TTSA and it happened in 2017 and they brought forward the Tic Tac video. Well, it's interesting, just before the CIA jumped on board, because all the TTSA people were CIA. And when people say, oh, you're paranoid to think that, I've proven it. I mean, do I have to prove it again on this show? How many times have I proven it? I can prove it. Their entire senior line are all CIA people. And the board of TTSA has over 100 years collectively of CIA experience. So, you know, I guess saying that the UFO file is run by those guys, you know, is a logical thing to say. It's a bunch of CIA people. So what I want to point out about this is that buildup around that story, we've already had it. We've had it for how many decades. So 1978, we had this big case. You know, in the 70s, there was a big disclosure push, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, all kinds of TV series covered, In Search Of, you know. So we've had this. In the 80s, of course, E.T. and Reagan and all of his speeches and his comments and all the rest. In the 80s and 90s, you had Bud Hopkins and all of his abduction work. And he's the great unmentionable because he was actually the partner, romantic partner of Leslie Kane, and she can't mention him anymore. He is literally forbidden. And he passed away some years ago. He was a brilliant guy. He was an artist, and he really got into people abduction and their abduction experiences. And what happened was he opened that whole thing up to Professor John Mack over at Harvard. Mack's office was close by. I knew Mack. And Mack was a very inquisitive person. And I met him, I think I was 19 years old, and I had a friend who was working for him. And this is a guy who wanted to take all of the academic powers and really utilize it to get to a different place in the field and make it something totally different. So he got incredible pushback. They tried to strip him of his tenure, and you know, Time magazine called him despicable. I mean, really crazy stuff. And this is the kind of stuff that we were dealing with in relation to the UFO file. This is how it was going, you know. And so we have to kind of go back in time and think about that and think, well, they're really pushing it now. What happened in between? Well, I can tell you as recently as 2015, they were still pulling the old UFOs don't exist thing. And the CIA was the same CIA that now loves the UFO file and has just discovered it. John Brennan wants to bring you to UFO glory. CIA, about UFOs of the 50s and 60s, it was us. So here they are saying, we created all those sightings to see what kind of reaction we would get and everything else. That's Space Insider from January 14th, 2015. It was us. That's a confession on the part of the CIA. That kind of gives us an idea that, well, they're pretty good at lying because they lied to the culture at that point by creating all these UFOs. According to them, they weren't from outer space. They made them. Here's another one. CIA admits government lied about UFO sightings. That's from 1997 in the New York Times. In the darkest days of the Cold War, the military lied to the American public about the true nature of unidentified flying objects in an effort to hide its growing fleet of spy planes. So what we're looking at really is a situation where, as part of their policy, they don't tell the truth. And as a clandestine spy agency, that's the kind of thing you would expect. So this whole thing about them coming out and giving us UFO disclosure is absurd. That's why when their people come forward, like Jim Semivan and Lou Elizondo and all the rest of them, and this new guy, John Ramirez, who really has to be seen to be believed. Now, this is a new one. I'm a CIA abductee. And this guy is very interesting because his story is supposed to be one of those abduction stories where, you know, oh, I had this, you know, abduction and they put me on a table and all that. It's like the Betty and Barney Hill story, but through a CIA agent. Because what the CIA is realizing is that their contactees and stuff, they're not dependable. And that they might give the CIA the cold shoulder at a certain point. So they need their own. And so they're making this whole fleet. And I hear now they're doing this with Lou, too, where he's saying, you know, I'm also psychic. And in the battlefield, I had remote viewing abilities. So they're just going to stuff them full of everything that they can do. Remember Corey Good? I mean, Corey Good was not only the ambassador to Mars, but he was also the ambassador to the inner Earth princesses, you know. And he was also the king of Antarctica. And also, you have to jam every line in. And that's what the CIA is doing. And that's what marketing clowns also do. So a lot of this has very familiar echoes to me as I see it being played out. And what they do, the Central Intelligence Agency, is they throw enough spaghetti against the wall. They're like TV executives. You throw enough spaghetti against the wall and you see what sticks. And so what we've been doing, what we've been seeing there with Elizondo is this is exactly it. Very important break with that programming took place in that podcast that I mentioned earlier, because what we saw was that this thing where Lou goes on and just basically bores people so much and talks them in circles around these things instead of giving them any real data in relation to it. And is like, oh, I can't tell you that because it's part of my top secret security clearance and all that. You know, that he got broken out of that, and we're still going to see that what the repercussions are, because this guy, you know, calling this other guy saying that, you know, what if I said your mother was a prostitute? I mean, it's so I mean, it's such a non sequitur craziness that I think we're going to see that he's going to retreat from the public eye for a while until that book comes out. Okay, let's get into Brennan and the CIA push around the UFO file. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. This is the CIA invasion of the UFO file, and it's great to have everyone here. I've been reminding everyone to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for that newsletter, because that keeps us in touch with each other, and we've been seeing incredible hardcore censorship, and I have to do a show just on the censorship that's been happening, but everyone, I think, is pointing out just how pathetic the efforts behind big tech throwing people off platforms left and right is going. We don't have the lovely Olivia tonight, so we're not going to be taking your questions. But when we come back with the X series, just you wait. Just you wait. Okay, Brennan. XCI boss Brennan believes there may be life beyond Earth. I want to go into, again, a strange podcast that took place where Brennan sort of spilled his guts a little too much. And we all know that Brennan was clinging for dear life to get Donald Trump out of office even before he got in. And believe it or not, that actually plays a role in all the things that we're talking about here as well, because this battle inside for who gets control over that UFO file and if it should be under executive control. And that becomes a very key piece. And so you found people like Clapper, like Brennan, basically putting their entire professional credibility on the line to get Trump out, anything that it would take. And very clearly into illegal activity. And this is what the CIA does, which is why it has no place in the alternative research community or the UFO file research, anything like that. Not if you want the truth. My God, you know, the last people you want to be dealing with for the truth is the CIA. I mean, that's like going for a TLC from a serial killer. You know, you just don't want to do it. Okay. So he's being interviewed by this guy named Bob Cohen. And Cohen says, let's take a concrete issue. The Navy has reported that a lot of pilots have seen unidentified flying objects. If you're tackling that as a CIA director or someone who works there, what is it you'd sift through and interpret? How would you do that? Brennan, I've seen some of those videos from Navy pilots, and I must tell you, they're quite eyebrow-raising when you look at them. Now, this is ridiculous, okay? He's talking about the Tic Tac UFO. Brennan has been CIA director and been in intelligence agency for 25 years. He knows all about UFOs. So there's nothing that's eyebrow raising about those videos for him. But his new role is, I'm into UFOs. All right, let's keep going. I believe it's important to reach out into other environments and find out. It's an important thing for analysts to do is not to go into a certain type of challenge, either discounting certain types of possibilities or believing in advance that it is likely X. You really have to approach it with an open mind, but get as much data as possible, as much expertise as possible brought to bear. Yeah. Another flat answer. Cohen, at the end of all that sifting and interpreting, what do you think is the most likely hypothesis about the UFO file? Brennan laughs. I don't know. When people talk about it, is there life, other life, besides what's in the states, in the world, the globe? That's weird too. States, globe. Life is defined in many different ways. I think it's a bit presumptuous and arrogant for us to believe there's no other form of life anywhere in the entire universe. What that might be is subject to a lot of different views, but I think some of the phenomena we're going to be seeing continues to be unexplained. It might in fact be some type of phenomena that is the result of something that we don't yet understand and that could involve some type of activity that some might say constitutes a different form of life. All right. These are very interesting answers from a number of levels for Brennan. I've got more on Brennan, in fact. I feel that what he's saying, that it constitutes a different form of life, that's a big deal for a CIA agent to be saying there are aliens, in fact. So this is what we're hearing from these people, which is that they want this to be aliens. They're trying to build it up into an alien threat. The truth about what the UFO file is, all the sightings, all the things, all the different things that we've gone through, the abduction experiences, people seeing, you know, the Phoenix lights and all the rest of it, CIA doesn't want to talk about that. What they want is what they've built it for. They don't want to share anything. They don't want to give you anything. We have to get rid of that concept completely. They want to create something so they can create corridors of power and control. That's what the name of the game is in Intel. All right. Now, the other person spinning around this, as I mentioned, is John Podesta. And Podesta comes in on a crazy wave, as I mentioned, as part of Hillary Clinton's team. He's so deep in the government between the Clintons and for the Obama administration. But he, for sure, is deep on this issue and was working with Tom DeLonge behind the scenes to create this TTSA idea. We're going to do documentaries and all this stuff and really bring the UFO file out, their version. So they were going to be doing the consolidation of the UFO file. WikiLeaks reveals Tom DeLonge's UFO emails with Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. So You know, we've seen in the pictures and the letters and everything else, it's just undeniable. Podesta and DeLong and Clinton were all collaborating on what was to become TTSA before it was TTSA. And that's a crucial piece, because when she didn't get into the White House, they made an interesting decision. They said, we're going to do it anyway. And that's where things got weird, because they didn't have that presidential support behind them. And you need that when you're running this kind of an operation, you need that presidential support to be there. Now, Politico article. Okay, this is from 2021. It's just literally from last May. Podesta to Biden, release the X-Files. All right, this is interesting to me, because Podesta is now going public against Biden and saying, you need to do this. They are already sensing the weakness on politically, the blood in the water on Biden and Harris, who are incredibly unsuccessful. They have one of the lowest ratings ever in any setup like this for a presidency after 1 year. Biden's poll numbers hover around 30% in pro-Democrat polls. So we have to think about what they actually are, probably far worse than that. But anyway, Podesta to Biden, released the X-Files. And so he's coming at him, and he's basically saying, you know, the inference is Hillary Clinton would release this stuff. Why don't you? And so he says, John Podesta thinks the truth is out there, and he believes President Joe Biden can help. The former White House chief of staff and Democratic Party luminary, Pizzagate luminary, has been pushing for federal government to be more transparent on all things UFO and UAP, of course, unidentified aerial phenomena. This is what they've put in there as part of that marketing campaign. There's no reason for UAP. It's actually not catching on very well. And we already have the UFO name. So this was like an attempt to move the marketing by changing the name, you know, just like Department of Homeland Security calls America the homeland. So you can just, you know, give us a whole different identity. Forget about that Constitution and all those Bill of Rights and stuff. Now that the Pentagon and the media are taking the subject more seriously, Podesta thinks Biden should move the ball forward by creating a dedicated UFO office inside the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. This is very interesting, because what happened, in fact, was that Podesta got, through Kirsten Gillibrand and Marco Rubio, a new office of the ASRO, which has to report to Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence. And so he was pushing Biden and saying, you need to do this, you know, you need to have it right out of the White House. And so Biden and the rest of the group were like, oh, he's really, you know, he's getting us where we live on this. We'll have to throw him a bone. And what they did was they put the ASRO and the AOIMSG. I don't even know how we're going to, I always call it annoying name anomaly, that one. But that one as well, is a strange name. I'm going to read actually what both of those represent, because I think it's important for us to wrap our heads around what they're doing here. ASRO is Anomaly Surveillance and Resolution Office. Okay. AOIMSG is Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. Already you have a split there in this thing. So it's not a UFO office. You've got two different weird offices doing their own thing. And in the middle of it, Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, who Hillary Clinton heavily favored, and who also was associated with the sex cult, the NXIVM sex cult. And a lot of people still want answers about that in relation to the depth that her family was involved, like her husband being their lawyer, etc. So we have a lot of weird things. And of course, Rubio, the hyper neocon hawk who wants to bomb Iran and things like that. These are not the people you really want to see in charge of a UFO file. I think it makes it a very dangerous situation. But the senator from Florida, being a Republican, you have to wonder, how did he hook up with this New York liberal Democrat to create this UFO office and then pressure it into the National Defense Authorization Act, which, if that act doesn't get passed, $800 billion of military funding doesn't come through. So they were able, as part of the Senate Intelligence Committee, to add that as a rider. Basically, you couldn't get that bill passed without their UFO office, either ASRO or AOIMSG. So we have to wonder what's going on behind the scenes now, because these people know something. And every week now, you see a new congressperson coming out and talking about UFO secrecy And they want UAP transparency and all this weird stuff. These people don't know anything about UFOs. Where are they coming from? And what are they being told in terms of what's happening? This is what we have to get our heads wrapped around. And through some marginal figures like Elizondo and Chris Mellon, we can start to see exactly the nature of the op that the CIA is running to basically run the UFO file. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist special report. We're going really deep now on this, and it's great to have so many of you with us. This is the CIA invasion of the UFO file, which has been going on now for quite some time, but they seem to be coming to some sort of a head here as they're going into this war scenario. They just got through with the unconstitutional violation of everybody's rights with mandates and the COVID op and all these kinds of things. So as I've said before, if you thought the COVID op was something, just wait till they get to the UFO threat op, because that's going to toss all the marbles. I want to remind everyone to go to the darkjournalist.com website and sign up for our free newsletter that keeps us in touch with each other. And it's really the best way for us to do this, because what we see happening is there's a real push behind that censorship. So we're just doing the best we can under those circumstances. I guess the video feed is freezing up a little bit maybe tonight. I've done my best with it. But we're going to keep rolling anyway. And hopefully I don't have to restart anything here. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Next up, this was another thing. I want to do a little bit so we understand DeLong and Semivan, because Semivan is such a high-ranking CIA official, 25 years CIA directorate. That's the senior intelligence level. And you're not going to get anyone on a higher level than that. But some of the interesting things, you know, just that piece of this Jim Semivan person, 25 years in the CIA top level. This is somebody who didn't exist on paper until 2015. That's how secret his role was. And not only that, but guess what? Just like CIA agent, that new one that they have coming out and saying, hey, you know, Ramirez, I am having all these abduction experiences. Well, guess what? Semivan was also abducted too. So he knows what it's like. But we can see what's interesting, I think, in that setup is that DeLong is basically under this guy's tutelage. And when a lot of the people had to break off from TTSA because, the whole thing wasn't working out the way that they wanted it to. Instead, what you got was this guy going out with DeLong and doing weird bookstore speeches and things like that. And it was almost like a lecture tour with just those two. Whenever you see the CIA come out from under the shadows and go public, something weird is going on, just like Brennan on MSNBC. It's not a normal activity for these guys. Let's put it that way. All right. So, let's go for more. How about James Clapper? Well, it's interesting because Elizondo says that Clapper was very interested in the UFO subject, and he basically was a special assistant for Clapper. As I pointed out before, the work that Elizondo did is always in a fog because he's never presented a very clear trajectory with dates. And here's the kind of resume for the whole thing. Nothing that anyone could check, just kind of vague stuff. And, I did this and I can't talk about doing that and whatever it was. One of the stranger things that I think came up in all of those, and I think it was quite enlightening, was when we were seeing this, really kind of remarkable. A couple of stories come out, and some witnesses came to me who were involved with a very major UFO case going back now some 20 years. But they said that it was Elizondo who had interrogated them. And I thought that was interesting. And then one of the key witnesses in a major UFO case said that Elizondo had been following him back then. We're talking the late 90s, basically. So this started to make me wonder about his actual role, what they actually used him for. And we know that interrogations came up very high in his work as something that they said that he actually did as part of his intel work. Now, of course, we've had John Warner on the program, who is the cousin of Chris Mellon. And we haven't really gotten into Chris Mellon as much tonight, but he's the other piece of that TTSA op. And, you know, he was in some intelligence capacity for the Defense Department under Clinton and under W. Bush, you know, Iraq War and all that stuff. So, you know, more neocons on the UFO thing saying, I want UFO truth and we need UFO truth. Somehow there's something that these people have in mind in relation to this. And it seems to be that they want to let some parts of the technology out and claim it. And then they want that to promote a threat. And I think what they were really pushing for with the threat was they were getting, you know, a tremendous amount of interest around the threat idea from the media. And the CIA wanted to see how far they could push the threat aspect. And so Mellon being there was crucial because he dealt with the military and military threats. And so all at once they were coming out, DeLong, Elizondo, and Mellon, and just talking about the UFO threat, so much that it was easy to imitate and make a joke out of. We called it out as very dangerous at the time because this is what they were promoting, and the media was going along with it. So therefore, the same talking points that they were getting, the media was getting. And I always make a mention of this in relation to what the media does, because the media is run in large part by the Central Intelligence Agency. Yes, folks, unfortunately, I hate to report that to you, but it's true. And what it seems like to me is that the instructions were, while people are in lockdown and they're stuck at home, we need to push this UFO threat aspect. And so what they did is they took all the old information from 2017 that was already old by the time the COVID thing hit, and they rolled it all back out, including the videos and everything else. And suddenly the CIA and the Pentagon were talking about the UFO file, you know, the Tic Tac video and the stuff that had already been released a couple of years ago. So they were like, you know, everybody's home. We're going to do this. It seems to me that part of the lockdown ops were also in relation to gathering data. And it didn't have anything to do with COVID, which we know. You know, walking around, you couldn't catch anything. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world. And, you know, wear a mask if you're going to like run in the mountains with your dog. It was just crazy. And, but they needed data. And so they needed to really come down with a hammer on people on it. But that kind of global data and what it represents, I think, is a very important thing for us to wrap our heads around. Because what was the data? And was the data, in fact, how would people respond if there were a UFO invasion and they needed to stay in their homes, and if, you know, we would allow our authorities to manage the threat, right? So here are these aliens, they roll in, they're a threat, you have to stay in your house, and we have total control because we're under emergency powers, and boom, it's the UFO invasion threat that gives it to us. The only problem is, in all this time we've been dealing with the UFO phenomena, and of course the UFO subject is so very interesting that I hate to even talk about the CIA manipulations around it, because the topic itself is so fascinating. And they basically try to ruin it in a number of ways because they're trying to use it as part of this power play. But nonetheless, they think that they can use the threat aspect. And this is something that we've heard even through the echo of time from Werner von Braun down to Carol Rosen, that something was happening there. Where he said, look, you know, they're going to use these different things to consolidate power. And, you know, they're going to use terrorists. They're going to use nations of concern. They're going to use asteroids, killer asteroids. And their final one is going to be the ET card, and it's the alien threat, and it's all going to be a lie. So we have to keep that in mind because there's a lot of statistical data that backs up that prediction, which comes from 1977. Which when you think about the passage of time there, 45 years, this is fascinating. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. We're going deep tonight on the UFO threat aspect. This is a special report. We're going to go, let's see here. We'll go about another half hour sussing out the push behind the CIA invasion profile. I want to remind you to go to the darkjournalist.com website to sign up for all the important things we can do for you there with the newsletter. It's a free newsletter, but we have some very important aspects coming up for you here in the spring and in April and May, some remarkable interviews that are going to just blow you away. along with the X series shows, which we have four or five shows lined up that are just explosive and maybe going to really move the needle on so much of this. Okay. Somebody else, I think, I just want to point out again, so that there's no misinterpretation about the fact that the CIA created the TTSA and that the spinoffs of the TTSA are all Intel people. You see a lot of misinformation spread to defend Lew and all that stuff, saying the CIA has nothing to do with any of this. He's just courageous and all the rest of it. All right. So those are the three key people for a TTSA. To the Stars Academy, which we know got into tremendous financial trouble, the company did, and we don't know the status of the company, but the CIA is really trying hard to make us forget them right now. So over here, that's Semivan, right? So Semivan has three decades of UFO experience, of CIA experience, and claims to be a UFO abductee, which I don't believe. This is Chris Mellon, of course, as we described, defense intelligence and one of the heirs to the Mellon banking fortune, and the cousin of John Warner, who came on the program to outline exactly what was going on there. And, this is also interesting because so many of these people, they have decades, not just, that they worked for the CIA for a few years, it's decades of experience with them. And Hal Puthoff, their CIA scientist in the middle, who's been associated with everything from remote viewing to alternative propulsion and everything else. He's been working with them since 1968. So that's 50 some odd years. I mean, that's what set up the TTSA, all CIA people. So again, just to kind of batten down the hatch on this, Jim Semivan retired in 2007. After a 25-year career in the Central Intelligence Agency's National Clandestine Service. At the time of his retirement, he was a member of the CIA's Senior Intelligence Service. That's the top of the line, everyone. Jim served as multiple overseas and domestic tours along with senior management positions at CIA headquarters. He's the recipient of the agency's Career Intelligence Medal. They don't give that to just anybody. He's like one of their top guys. So that's what launched this whole op, the whole New York Times article, the Tic Tac, it's all CIA, all right? And the people who chickened out around this in the UFO field, who were kind of the bigger names, who wouldn't stand up on the UFO side because they wanted to be included in all this stuff, that's my fundamental disagreement with them. And I know that a lot of people say that, the UFO is all grifters and that there are all these UFO researchers who have all these problems. I don't care. that's not the aspect that interests me. I think there's a lot of good researchers out there. And I think there are a lot of very important UFO stories. And if you want real grifting and stuff, you can go into like Wall Street and, hedge funds and things like that. That's far more of a grift if you want to expose people. What concerns me is the buildup of a narrative by experts in a particular area that the public doesn't know that well. The media and the regular public don't really, they have kind of a flash, superficial version of the UFO file knowledge. They don't have that deep knowledge. So what bothers me on a professional ethics level is when people have this deep knowledge who've been studying the UFO file for a number of years, and the CIA comes in and massages that narrative to take over with this UFO threat idea, and they do nothing. Or they participate and promote it. So that's very bothersome. So for me, I'm sort of looking at this from a different perspective. And I also feel that maybe it seems to me this lineup of CIA people in the TTSA is kind of remarkable. Those are all CIA people. And I'm going to zoom in on a couple of them just so you know that I'm not just saying it. It's their own stuff. This is their website. Dr. Paul Rapp, professor of military emergency medicine, director of traumatic research program. Honors include CIA certificate of commendation for significant contributions to the missions of the Office of Research and Development at the CIA. Okay. That's Paul Rapp. Dr. Norm Kahn. Okay. This is all Elizondo, Mellon, DeLong, TTSA, the whole thing. This is their group. This is their team. former CIA counter-biological weapons program expert, 30 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, 12 years in the CIA's counter-biological weapons program, U.S. government national security consultant. So there you go. I mean, that's who those people are. It was just a bunch of CIA people. Now, why do a bunch of CIA medical people, clandestine operators, top of the line, get together on a UFO threat op? Why does that group get together and do this? This is the question. And so it went through a couple of different spin cycles, and they had a lot of problems. What they came out with at the end was this kind of unstable op, which had Elizondo as the center, which they pushed through every major channel. As I said, People Magazine, the History Channel, I mean, everything. This guy was on Tucker Carlson, 60 Minutes. I mean, you can't ask for more coverage than that. But he couldn't quite close the deal. And then in the middle of all this, he, you know, gets into a really big problem in relation to what happened there, as we saw recently about him admitting to making up sock puppet accounts. And that's the way it happens. So it's kind of a David and Goliath story. This really small, you know, podcast just out of the blue, this guy just asking questions and really getting in there for the real thing. Because sometimes, you know, you can go on somebody's program for 2 hours, but if they don't ask you a tough question, nothing's going to break. But if someone can get in there and ask you one tough question, it can break the whole thing apart, in fact. And so we saw for years this guy being coddled, you know, and, you know, the George Knapp and all those types. Now, another time that we saw somebody collapse under a few questions was DeLong with Rogan. And the new spin from DeLong on this is that, oh, I was under a lot of pressure because there were certain things I couldn't reveal and all the rest. No, you just were kind of like acting like a psycho because you don't really know about the UFO file. You're basically somebody that they recruited as what's called a Bobo. And the Bobo is a very interesting character in all this. We see a lot of them, and the CIA loves the Bobo, because what happens with a Bobo is you pump them up and you pump them up and you pump them up. And then when the time comes, you know, you just kind of run out the back door and you leave the Bobo there to hang out as the clown who has to absorb all of the blame. And that's what they were engaged in doing with DeLong. But the Bobo was important with this because he kind of came in as somebody who didn't know exactly what he had signed up for. And they were saying, don't worry, we're going to take you up to this level and this level and this level. So in that sense, DeLong, I don't think really knew what he was getting into. But then he surrounded himself with all these CIA spies. And so, you know, at a certain point, you kind of get what you pay for there, literally. Here's more. CIA flight fright. Former CIA director says he believes UFOs could exist after PAL's aircraft was paused at 40,000 feet. That's James Woolsey, everybody. Remember him? He was the CIA director under Clinton. And one of the things that we found out about him was when they asked Catherine Austin Fitz, when they recruited her into a think tank about what ETs, what would the knowledge of ETs do to the public, one of the main people who was right in the middle of that whole thing was James Woolsey. But we also know he had some interesting battles publicly with Stephen Greer. But now this guy loves the UFO file. He believes in it and he thinks that UFOs are real and we should go for it. So we got Brennan, we got Woolsey, we got Avril Haines, all the intel people are on board now. And of course, with all the ex-steganography of guys like Jeff Bezos, for example, and the ex-steganography of Blue Origins in that case. Let's see if they're going to let us show that one. Has everyone seen that picture of Bezos? Because it's pretty interesting. Okay. I think I held it up there long enough. And of course, SpaceX, the ex-steganography. Ex-steganography is very easy to track. And it's something which we have multiple examples of in relation to higher technology and how secret advanced technology gets moved through the UFO file and then gets moved out to the public. And so we have these very large scale ops that are happening. and you have very high-end technology, and you need to be able to move that technology without telling everybody exactly what you're up to. And the best way and the easiest way to do that, guess what? It's through using the X steganography, which is crucial. So we're kind of getting a picture here in the middle of all the situation that we've crossed a Rubicon of sorts, and we've crossed into a totally different direction. And that direction is that we're looking now at this advanced technology being rolled out in stages. And so therefore, they can no longer hide the actual presence of the UFO file. They can't hide the presence of these craft also. So we're going to be able to see these craft because these people are going out into space on a large scale basis, one, but two, their own technology they need to roll out. So that's also things we haven't seen and that they've kept secret for 7 or 8 decades. So we're in a strange situation in relation to this, and we need to catch up to that before they roll out the phony UFO threat and you're under emergency powers because, you know, we get to take all your constitutional rights because we're protecting you from not COVID this time, but aliens. So that's, you know, kind of a crucial stage for us. We're in a maybe a perilous position in relation to that, unless we get ahead of it to a point where they decide it's untenable to use it. And that's why we need to come very strong in relation to the UFO file op, the UFO threat op, moving through individuals like Elizondo, like this DeLong thing, like Jim Semivan, and like Ramirez, who is the CIA contactee, right? I was abducted by aliens and I'm a CIA agent. That's the new thing. Now, someone who's been on this program and is a remarkable researcher, she doesn't really pump herself up too much, it's Susan Manowich, and she's always done remarkable work on the breakthrough energy side, and has a great background on, you know, the UFO file and abduction experiences, and actually knew Mac well back when he was very active. And her book actually, I think, is an excellent standpoint for us to, she contributed to a book and helped put together this book, The Science of Consciousness, New Contact with Non-Human Intelligence Beyond UFOs. You know, it's funny because we had talked about it. She was so busy at the time and we were doing so many of the X series shows. We didn't have her back on this book. We're definitely going to have her on to talk about it. But she recently put out something that I think is crucial in sizing up this situation about these CIA agents suddenly getting a huge interest in the UFO file. And I'm going to read it in part here. Part of this is called An Example of Maladaptive Behavior in Kali Yuga. And this comes directly off her blog, and I'll read some of this at the end. We've discussed the maladaptive abilities, this is her article, in the prior article, the field of ufology and reported human contact with extraterrestrial and interdimensional intelligences, which has long been reported in indigenous cultures throughout the world, is in the process of being heralded by the military-industrial complex and what seems to be a takeover of the topic. Exactly. This appears to be in alignment with what we know about these individuals who cannot adapt to these shifting and potentially evolutionary dynamics. And instead of wonderment and discovery relating to cosmic life, we have a message of fear, control, and domination of the information. The U.S. government has long since denied the existence of extraterrestrials and human contact, yet as of the last few years has a slew of mainstream media-supported reveals, along with self-chosen spokespeople who also happen to be, hey, CIA-employed and formerly CIA-employed. One must ask the question, why now, in the subdued emotional climate of a post-COVID lockdown, is the world, this topic now, getting attention? And whom has been put into a position of power as the new authority on the topic? Elizondo, for example. The real question to ask is, why does a human being need an authority figure who has a history connected to military government to tell them their place in the cosmos? This is exactly the question we need to be asking. We don't need that structure to give us disclosure. We have so much information. This is the information age. We have the ability to do this. I'm sorry, back to the article here. Their evolutionary future, question mark, their potential relationship to star beings, question mark, and their potential relationship to God, question mark. If we have learned anything from an evolutionary standpoint, it is to not close down on new sources of information, especially relating to our own souls, past and present, rather to adapt, learn, and rise through the adversity to have our life continue forward. This is fascinating because she nails it that they've been electing people as part of an operation about something that's very core to the human experience, our place in the universe, our spiritual lives even. And we see the TTSA dangling this around like, oh, you know, maybe life started differently than what we know. And Elon Musk's and his big drive to Mars, don't tell me that doesn't come with a big fat narrative and a bow that life came from Mars. Look at the work of Gigi Young on this. Remarkable. So we're really getting a sense here that people are waking up. We've got really good people on the job. Susan Manowich, Gigi Young, Joseph Farrell, Catherine Austin Fitz. This is a perfect period for us to really get a handle on these types of experience and to completely blow out and push out the UFO file push from the CIA UFO threat aspect and all the individuals and all the weird craziness associated with those people, you know, like this guy, like him going after Elizondo, going after this rather B guy and saying, you know, is your mom a hooker? I mean, you know, just really, that's weird. When you get in there, a lot of the CIA people, I point this out because they have a level of individual inside the agency that's very smart, but they also use very marginal people. This is what Professor Scott told me, which is why people can't understand, hey, you know, we've had these people operating, you know, who could be a CIA agent? Do you think Oswald was a CIA agent? Come on. Well, they do, though. They dress them up because if they have a particular aspect, like in the case of Oswald, he was very cool under pressure, for example. This is very important, I think, and it gives us an impression of why they may have selected someone like Oswald to be set up as the patsy for the Kennedy administration assassination and the assassination of President Kennedy. Look, this is an old story. President Kennedy was trying to get disclosure between the countries. He was trying with Russia to do this. Look, we're still at war with Russia now. This is 60 years later. You know, they still haven't decided to work these things out. Professor Peter Dale Scott, who's 92 now, but he still writes and does essays on things. He is shocked by the amount of Cold Warrior control that we're seeing out there pushing for war at every turn and not looking for a way out of the crisis over in Ukraine. Now, when I say it's an old story, I'm going to show you just how. Remember, of course, so much of this problem came about during Blue Book, and J. Allen Hynek was a scientist there who no longer believed the stories they were telling him. He was the guy who went out and had to say, hey, UFOs are swamp gas and all that, and he just got tired of it because he knew that the government was BSing the public. So what did he do? He became the big advocate in the push for disclosure in the 70s, and he got really far, in fact, and he had great experience in relation to this. So what I want to point out is that this story and the push-pull going back and forth took place all the way back to the 40s with the throwing Forrestal, the first defense secretary, out the window at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And then later his friend, JFK, who knows very well what took place there, gets into office and he's faced with the same problems in relation to the UFO file, which is there's a dedicated group, we refer to them as ex-protect in this program, who do not want the truth around the UFO file out. They'll take a manipulated version of it, fine. If you want to make up false disclosure or a UFO threat, no problem at all. But not in relation to other another way of doing this, just completely different. So we see the headlines now saying truth embargo, UFOs are suddenly all talk in Washington, right? That's what they're saying. Hey, you can talk about the UFO file now, no problem at all. And so this is what we're looking at because they now have the ability, they've decided, this is what we're going to go forward with the UFO story. Here's how we're going to play it out. This is the op that we've decided on after all. something's going on. UFOs threaten national security, U.S. politicians warn. In the U.K., the Daily Mail is putting out these types of stories. Threat, UFO threat. Oh, something's going on. And they're using the same TTSA junk footage to do this. That footage, they've got a lot of mileage out of it. You know, what is it, 4 years running now that they released this stuff? I've pointed these guys out before, of course, Putoff and Semivan, but you know, they've done a lot of work together on this UFO front and for the CIA. So therefore, to see them show up backing TTSA and creating this whole thing, these are the real, in my opinion, this is the real brain trust here. Forget about DeLong, forget about Elizondo. Those are really kind of grunts doing work at the behest of this larger operation. So let's not forget that. These real brains of the outfit. I want to go more into the brains of the outfit. I actually, people like Elizondo and DeLong are kind of, it's kind of, you know, the Bobo aspect of the ops. The CIA loves to do that. They always want a colorful character on top. But let's look at it. I mean, the real intellectual heft of this organization and this push for the UFO threat is coming from somewhere else. It's coming from a very smart level of that inside group. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show special report. It's great to have so many of you here with us. And we're going to be probably doing about 10 more minutes on this, and we're going to wrap it up for tonight just to get this special report. And of course, we're coming back in the weeks ahead with a really terrific set of interviews and new X-Series episodes coming up later in April, where we'll be taking your questions and doing some Q&A shows as well. I know we've got Groovy Bean and Kat out there running the ideas room. And so just hold your fire on the questions for next time. And I'm looking forward to them. I read every question, every email you guys send, and all the fantastic mail and things that I get. Some people have said to me that they want to, instead of subscribing through PayPal, which is available on the site, and I recommend, you know, it's an easy, quick way for you to do that. But if you don't want to and you want to send a check, you can send it to 1770. Send it to Dark Journalist, 1770 Massachusetts Avenue, Cambridge, Mass., 02140 here in lovely Harvard Square. All right, what I'm going to close on is the nature of that earlier battle and how it relates to what we're looking at now in relation to the fight over the UFO file. The fight then was the CIA's also, but it was the CIA against the presidency. And John F. Kennedy knew a great deal about the UFO file and had been warned, in fact, by the outgoing president that basically the CIA had sucked up the UFO file and that it needed to come back under presidential control. This is important, and there's so many things about Kennedy, and you know, new documentaries have come out about Kennedy. One from Oliver Stone, in fact, that's very important, called JFK Through the Looking Glass, and I think we get a lot of very interesting information from Oliver Stone in relation to it. He's not just a great filmmaker, but as a documentarian, he knows how to really highlight the key aspects. So, one of the important things for us to keep in mind is that the Kennedy story, a big thrust of that Kennedy story, is a lot of his tension with the Central Intelligence Agency was over the UFO file. There's a lot of dots that connect that way and lead up even to the assassination itself. Of course, you know, we've had the Watergate lawyer on this program saying that E. Howard Hunt confessed to him that the Kennedy assassination was in fact due to the UFO file and his willingness to give that to the Russians, because Kennedy's vision was to share the information. And this is really where a lot of these problems are coming from, because the Russians are very aware of the UFO file, and so are we. And so in that sense, we're actually very equal. We may have something of an advantage, but they know so much about space and about the UFO file that they are you know, an incredible competitor in that regard, even though, you know, their economy is tiny compared to ours. Their military output is tiny compared to ours. I think it was put out by the economist David Stockman that, you know, we spend in a week what they spend in a year. In relation to the military. So you know, really think about that, and that their economy is basically the size of Manhattan. You know, so this idea of like making them into a big Cold War style enemy is really not a good idea. And certainly, you know, their actions rolling into the Ukraine, this whole war situation and where it's at, there's so many points at which we kind of have waved them in on this. And so we need to come at that war in a totally different direction. And this idea of Zelensky as a hero and all this kind of stuff, you know, and that, you know, we should go over there and get involved on a grand scale with that war. No, I actually don't agree with that. And I feel very much that we're being, again, bamboozled and propagandized by the very same individuals. Remember, the CIA have boots on the ground there in Ukraine, and they've been fueling so much of this. And this is the kind of blowback that we get when the CIA goes off and does their own foreign policy. Look at the horrible foreign policy they did in Iraq. They said it was a slam dunk. He had WMDs and we should go in there and take him out. And we got locked in there for 12 years with no end in sight. The same thing with Afghanistan. And then when we leave Afghanistan, Stepford Biden leaves, you know, the terrorists, Taliban, with $100 billion in high-end U.S. weaponry. I mean, it's absurd. The mismanagement of this stuff and the lack of acknowledgement of other aspects involved in the case of Afghanistan, the heroin trade, if we can't talk about these things realistically in the media, then the media is useless. And that's why the media and the CIA are useless in relation to the UFO file search. We need to find those types of answers on our own. And so that's what we're doing here. All right, I'm going to try to wrap this whole thing up here to give us something to work with. By the way, Kennedy knew he was being stiffed by Dulles. And when Dulles had tried to get him into a war with Castro in Cuba, Kennedy said, "You're out," and fired him after he'd been a sacred cow there for a decade and in that national security establishment for over three decades. So Kennedy's bravery in relation to this is key. But when you look right in the middle there and you see Richard Bissell, this imposing figure, you have to see that you're looking at the UFO file when you look at Dulles and Bissell, because those were the two who wrote the real CIA Blue Book. Forget about Project Blue Book, which is just public whitewash, you know, hey, somebody saw a hubcap, you know, or the planet Venus or something. That's all Blue Book stuff. That's all the junk piece. But there was a real CIA Blue Book, and those guys were at the very heart of it. So Kennedy knew who he was dealing with and the levels of power, and he knew that the only way to get that power back under presidential control was to demand that they share those files back with the presidency. And so he was attempting that. And in fact, there's a series of memos on it that have come out, and so we have them. It's not even something we need to guess at anymore. So I think that that kind of gives us that idea. Oh, there it is. This is the actual memo. I mean, it still stands out there, the historical record. And what President Kennedy says is, as I discussed previously, I've initiated and I've instructed James Webb, who was the head of NASA at the time, to develop a program with the Soviet Union in joint awareness and space exploration. So they're going to go into space together. They're going to go to the moon together. There's no more Cold War arms race. There's no more, do they think we're going to bomb them from space? We're going to go up there together. And so Kennedy's reaching out and saying, we can build a new world and do this stuff together, but I want you to get what are the high threat cases in relation to the UFO file and share them, so that there's never a nuclear accident in relation to these guys thinking that what's flying over their country is one of our craft. Now, I think that they were disturbed because they were thinking, oh, we have to not only disclose this stuff to Kennedy, but we're going to have to disclose it to these guys. And they really weren't going for that. So you can go into the Kennedy Library and review the documents. It's Cooperation on Outer Space Matters with the Soviet Union through NASA. And then this memo has never been denied by the CIA. It got out. There was a teacher who was really hardcore on FOIA requests. And this is the piece, the puzzle, one of those shreds that gives us that background picture, along with Caddy's testimony and all the rest of the push-pull on the UFO file. And not only that, but it relates to the secret space program, of course, because we had Wernher von Braun and his Nazi crew with a whole different advanced space program right inside of NASA. So really, you've got the American space program, you have the secret space program, and then you have the Russian space program. And the secret space program was under our umbrella, but nonetheless, they were running their own show, and they weren't so keen on sharing everything with us either, even though those became the father of our own rocket programs. So it's a very complex picture, but the X technology has to be considered in the middle of that, because we've had physicists like Robert Sarbacher, and we've had others come forward and say, oh yeah, you know, we did. We dissected those things and we went through them and we learned how they worked, which means we got a whole different impression of how the technology operated. And that's key and that's crucial. So when we think about it, we need to kind of keep our minds on this idea, which is they have access to technology that's so advanced beyond what we would normally think of that, you know, they've created, in fact, two different tiers of society, a group that knows that, and then the rest of us. So that group that knows that wants the ability to come down here and propagandize and play mind games with us, and basically giving us that impression that, oh, there's a UFO threat or whatever it happens to be, because they need some way for that development to benefit them to their advantage. And the CIA is the core main conduit for that type of activity. That's why when we see Elizondo out there, the TTSA and all these CIA people, we understand this is an op, and we don't need to think of it as anything but. So when we see the weirdness around it and it getting strange, and you know, when this guy gets challenged, he goes after people and stuff, and he's making up sock puppet accounts, that's part of the CIA weirdness around the whole thing, because they need to hang on to this no matter what. You know, that's why the big push through the media, and they get incredible centralized control if they can figure out how to convince the public that there's a hostile alien UFO threat and that they are the ones who need to protect us from it. Then you'll have lockdowns as long as the eye can see. That's the end. You know, they ruled emergency powers. That's the end of the really fundamental constitutional powers. And democracies, it just becomes ruled by emergency threat. The other thing I want to point out about emergency powers and the continuity of government programs that we've seen rolled out, you know, in the Canada Emergency Action, of course, COG was activated here. We're still under that COG September 11th emergency. As I've said, every year, this is something I learned from Professor Scott, every president, whether it's Trump, Obama, Bush, or Stepford Biden, has to sign the September 11th Emergency Act to keep the emergency powers. So they're still using illegal user emergency powers. Look, if you dig deeply on this, you're going to find that the Nixon administration, when they were looking through their own files, realized that we were still in a state of emergency from the Korean War. And somebody was doing something in the government in relation to that emergency that they couldn't do if it was normal conditions. So emergency powers are something that the governments will utilize, especially when they can't get popular support. Look at the poll numbers on Stepford Biden. Right. Stepford Biden wants a new world order, he says. He's actually went on the record. And by the way, this this came from RT. And it's funny because they banned RT on YouTube. And to me, that's just ridiculous. What kind of repressive situation do we have in this country when a foreign, you know, news agency is banned? I mean, can't we just look at it and think, hey, these guys are, you know, they're a state agency, so we're not going to believe everything that they say. Do we have to ban it so people can't even look at it? More jaw-dropping things, I think, that are related to this. So we're kind of end out on the Stepford Biden aspect. U.S. doomsday plane sent along with Biden's fleet to Europe. That is such a terrible signal on behalf of the U.S. foreign policy, State Department, CIA, and everything, to send the actual doomsday plane, which hovered over the White House during 9/11, by the way, for them to send that out, I think is really just beyond the pale. Think about it. What kind of a message does that send? Oh, you know, we have the nuclear, doomsday plane right over there in Europe while Biden's there. I mean, just, you know, terrible messaging. And there's no reason, there's no real technical reason to do that. It doesn't give you any technical superiority in that situation. You don't want to send those types of signals at all. So here we go again. And I think this is more of the Biden, like the Anthony Blinken, that whole team. Not only do I think that they, you know, they're lacking in vision, but I also think that they're so hung up on the way that they want to have Russia overreact that they're willing to, you know, create these provocations. And that's all CIA. I mean, if you go back, you have to see how the CIA was created in the first place. And we try to do a job on that on this program to understand that it comes back from this whole history of Wall Street and international finance and how that is related to all these foreign policy moves that we make. It's absolutely crucial to keep that in mind as we go here, because, you know, we can't afford to just play along and think, oh, hey, this is some spy agency helping our foreign policy team. They have this deep state aspect to them, high finance, the management of high finance, and then also the intelligence agencies. And then what? The contractors around the intelligence agencies, Booz Allen Hamilton, for example. So there's all kinds of places where there's lack of accountability to the United States public, who are the ones who put them in power in the first place by electing them and paying taxes and all the rest. So it is this incredible disconnect and kind of psychotic situation. And you see it in relation to the UFO file and the way that the CIA is trying to fool the public on this, just like they're trying to fool us into war in Ukraine. So remember, of course, during the Trump administration, what did they try to do? With the COVID op, they try to use it as a pretext for continuity of government program. Look, COG is the ultimate end of any human rights, and that's it. They can never be allowed to call continuity of government. That's why we need to be aware of what it is and what happens in relation to it. And as I've pointed out, the NORTHCOM commander, who is in charge of that, Van Herk, well, General Van Herk is in fact from the 509th, and Jesse Marcel was from the 509th. So this is a weird kind of Roswell overlay in continuity of government. Have we ever really checked that out? I mean, the perfect excuse for calling continuity of government is an alien invasion. So we have to be aware of these things. And that's where we're going with this. And as far as it goes, we're going to be covering this hard and being right on top of it with the CIA threat operation. And it doesn't matter if they're using Bobos like DeLong or Elizondo, you know, and those people, as I've said from the beginning, are welcome here for a gentleman's debate on this program. I have always offered to roll out the red carpet and talk with them, and they're going to get tough questions, you know, but I would certainly welcome the opportunity to talk with them about it. But they're not going to do it, because if you ask tough questions, like as an counterintelligence officer, if the government instructs you to lie to the public, will you do that? Their answer has to be yes, because that's what a counterintelligence agent does. So therefore, they're not, you know, their op is going to fall apart in about 2 minutes on this program. So I don't expect to see them here anytime soon. But that offer remains open. And I think now that the op is sputtering after Elizondo's terrible performance on that small podcast, and that's good. That's good. Sometimes it takes a little podcast for somebody to stumble. But because he has stumbled so badly, I think if anyone gets him for an interview, they should press even harder and really get the stumbling into overdrive. But I predict Elizondo is going to be going kind of underground and just sticking with safe places and showing up, like, you know, for Tucker Carlson and people like that. Don't get me wrong. Tucker Carlson has a good show as far as it goes, but he doesn't know anything about UFOs. And, you know, it's still Fox News, you know, just like the Rogan thing. I enjoy the fact that they're out there, but they're never going to be able to go deep like we are here, because there's no $200 million exchange involved. So that's why I'm able to tell you these things. And I get support from you guys. You're the ones who keep me doing this work. So I appreciate that. And with that, I'm going to let everyone go for tonight. I'll do some shout outs. And also I want to mention before I go for you to go to the darkjournalist.com website and to sign up for a newsletter there. And that's the best way for us to stay in touch. It's a free newsletter. And we for sure have some exciting things that you're going to want to know about. And you'll only find out about them really through the newsletter. So make sure that you stand up and be counted, get on that newsletter list, and of course, get behind the program, subscribe there. We've made it very affordable. And also make sure to like and share the videos that we put out here on this YouTube channel. You guys have been fantastic audience. We really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week with some very exciting interviews. A couple of shout outs here in the chat. I'll do my best. Let's see here. Dark Jedi Order. That's interesting. Fred D. It's great to see you. Oh, I can highlight comments. I always forget. Why do I forget that? I like that one. Glove Arm. Fantastic. I like it. Short and sweet. Thank you very much. Patricia McDowell. Thank you. David, thank you. Golden Girl, excellent to see you out there. Moments Divine, that's a great name, terrific name. Yes, rest in peace, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell was one of those guys who, you know, some people were really fascinated by him and others just didn't pay attention, but he always had something interesting to offer. And I know that Joseph Farrell had some very interesting conversations with him as well. And, you know, between the loss of Maxwell and Betty Andreasen, just amazing. You know, the people, when we get them here, they're so important. And we have to never forget that, you know, we're lucky to have the incredible people that we do on the research side, giving us the unfiltered facts and getting around all these things. I was reading a book by Anthony Sutton the other day, and I was thinking, what an incredible thing, you know, that journalism, as far as it goes, you know, we miss so much in journalism that can never get that deep. So we're so lucky to have those people who have the intellectual ability to go in there and strive for us to get the truth and come back out with it without being part of this establishment that's censoring them and all the rest. So very important. Thank you, Groovy Bean, for being out there and helping us out. Shelley Cobra. Entire era going away. Art Bell, of course. Yeah, a few years ago we lost Art Bell. And Art had been, you know, he'd really done some remarkable things in bringing out so much around the UFO file. So his shows were really something else. I think Coast to Coast suffered after he left dramatically, but that's the way it goes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Mita Q, Groovy Bean, Kat Goida. It's great to see a Kat. Oh, Kate's out there. It's great to see a Josh. Manly P. Hall books. Interesting. Manly P. is fascinating. Let's not forget. Just Secret Teachings of the Ages. Has anyone really ever figured out that book? Still remarkable. Incredible. Thomas Tyson, thank you very much, sir. It's great to see you. William Cooper. Cooper did one remarkable book and really was way ahead of his time in a lot of things. So we have to give him credit for that. Mermaid in the USA. He was the real deal, as no one in CIA or other elites shared wealth for Jordan's life work. True. He was out there on his own and he made it. He still came through. I'm trying to think of who he did his last, if someone can tell me who he did his last set of interviews with, that would be very interesting. Ed Dames. Please. No. Dames is complete, the opposite of truth bringer. We don't want that. Josh, behold. Excellent. Cove Channel. It's great to see you. Biff Tannen. Andy B. Mae Brussell. Excellent. I was just reading a Mae Brussell book recently. Unbelievable. Mae Brussell was very ahead, and I want to point this out, that one thing that she did that was remarkable is she said she was actually showing how the intel agencies set up and often would stage the drug overdoses of celebrities they didn't like. And so, you know, now they train us so much in the media in a way to go after certain types of celebrities. You know, like the Britney Spears thing, they, in the alternative media, they really make a thing out of Britney, that she's to be made fun of and all this stuff. But she seems to me like one of those people who's really under that kind of control, trying to get out of it. So it's a balance there for how we see some of these people, and are they manipulated? You know, and how should we be viewing some of that? Maybe we can help to expose that more by not judging them so much. It's something to think about. And I think Russell was doing that in her era. That time, I think she was talking about Freddie Prinze, who was actually spreading the Zapruder film around in the 70s, ended up dead under strange circumstances as if he had committed suicide. Very, very unusual. And we know Freddie Prinze Jr. is still out there. What was Elon's Twitter? Let me see if I caught that one. It's gone already. Somebody was talking about Elon's Twitter. Yeah, it's been acting up. He's been saying some very kind of interesting things. And he was also talking about how he was concerned about censorship. So Elon is very interesting because, again, I don't really think it's one person. I think they're making him a little bit of an every person, the way that Howard Hughes was kind of an every person. That's it. Kate's got it. Britney Spears has been putting out a lot of interesting info lately. Bingo, she has. And we have to sift through that in a way to be able to see what's going on with somebody like her, who's a complex figure and was really at the height of this type of celebrity, is very talented and everything else, but is also in that incredible machine. And at a certain point, I think they saw her as unsteady and were like, oh my God, what is she going to let out? And so we've seen this incredible consolidation control machine. And, you know, we have a series called Female Targets. And I have an important episode on that coming up in relation to some of these situations that happen. But she might be somebody that will show up in that series as well. Britney's mind controlled. I agree with that one, says Biff. Biff Tannen, right on. Scarlet Fire. True wisdom is knowing you know nothing. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty Gurdjieffian, actually, when you put it right down. Everyone, it's been terrific being with you here tonight. We will see you all next week. And I guess there were some pops and clicks with the video feed. I'm not sure what was going on there, but it's been great to spend the time with you. And we'll be back, of course, with the X series. Remember to go to darkjournalist.com, sign up for the newsletter. And also, I think I gave the address out. It's if you want to send a check instead of sending it electronically, it's Dark Journalist, 1770 Massachusetts Avenue, Cambridge, Mass., number 238, and 02140. And we will see you all back next Friday, unless something comes up. And, you know, the way things have been going, you might get another special report. So just get ready for old Blue Eyes back there. He's waiting for you. But thanks so much, everyone. And Griffin Eagle, it's good to see you out there. Fantastic. Shelly Cobra, excellent. We will see you all next week. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Groovy. And have a great weekend, everybody. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it says end broadcast, but never really ends.